Good morning, church. As was shared, I had a great time at the youth or at the hayride last night, and also I heard they had a very good time at the ladies' banquet over there at West Milford. So they were expecting like 30, and they had like 58. We pray that was a blessing to them. I know the ladies I talked to that were able to go from our congregation, it was a blessing to them. And then thank you to the Gospodarics for opening up their home to us last night as well. All right, so we're looking this morning, we're going to be in 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8, 2 John 1, 8 for our text this morning. And I want to say a few things just to start before we get going. I believe that if the Bible and the Lord says you're saved, you're saved. I believe that you cannot be plucked out of the hands of Christ. And I also believe that the third one I was going to share, I can't, it has slipped my mind now. With that said, because we're speaking on topic this morning of basically, if you were going to give it a title, it'd be Once Saved, Always Saved. That is nowhere found in scriptures. However, I also want us to know, because sometimes in the church, I think we forget that they're also not in the scriptures is once lost, always lost. Okay? And so just something for us to chew on there. 2 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive the full reward." And so as we think of that this morning, John, in his older times, as we see, is much different than he was in his early life when he was known as one of the sons of thunder. He is now an aged elder and looks at things a little differently. See what John has shared with us there, I hope we'll continue to remember that when we say to watch for yourselves, it means to be on guard. It means that we need to protect ourselves. And what he's saying here is that in this text that there are going to be seducers. There are going to be people that are going to try to pull you away. And he even refers to them as Antichrist. I know we've been doing our Revelation study, and some things we need to learn from Revelation is, for example, the word Antichrist is not anywhere in the book of Revelation. And so we always think that when we talk about Revelation, we've got to talk about the Antichrist. The same author does talk about it, John does, but it's never talked about in the book of Revelation. And so we are told to, in previous passages, previous scriptures here in 2 John, we are told to watch, we are told to pray, we are told to love God, to love each other, and to remember to walk in the newness of life. And so those are good things for all Christians, and that's what we see that the Apostle Paul is trying to always do, or the Apostle John there is trying to do, is to encourage us to be faithful, to continue to press on, as Paul tells us to as well. There are many commentators and scholars and preachers and things of that nature that in this text that we looked at in 2 John 1:8, where it says, watch for yourselves, we get that. But then it'll say, so that you may continue to keep what you have accomplished, so that you don't lose what you've accomplished. And so as we think of that, what are some things as Christians that we have gained that we could lose? What's the most important thing a Christian could gain that they could lose? Their salvation. And so he's saying you need to be careful of this. We need not to lose our salvation. And what I was going to say is, in some of that is, so some of these scholars and things will say, so, you know, we're told in scriptures that if we help somebody become a Christian, we help them get to heaven, we help for them to see the error of their way and be obedient to Jesus Christ, that there's a special reward for us. So then what happens if someone does that? We gain that reward, and then they fall away. The suggestion is you lose that reward in Jesus in the day of the Lord. In other words, so we've helped somebody become a Christian. Not only have they lost their salvation if they step away from the Lord, but then we lose a glory for that. So here's what John is saying. And what I think it needs to do is John is saying, because we've all been there. We've talked to people that say, I'm done with the church. I'm done with this. And they walk away. The whole idea is then if we tell them, you know, you're not only stealing from yourself when you do that, you're stealing from your fellow Christians, hopefully in that thought that if you're at least not concerned about your own selfishness, then you're at least concerned about how your salvation affects your brothers and sisters. And so what John is telling them is, so even through this warning, perhaps they will stay faithful because they know not only would they deprive themselves of the great final reward, they deprive us of a little bit of a reward for having helped them to become Christians. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm just going to be honest with you, it has not been an easy, it's been a difficult task for me this week to have this sermon come across, and I'm just totally not 100% pleased with my efforts. I apologize for that. Anyway, number one, can an individual lose their salvation? Can an individual lose their salvation? What does Scripture tell us? Right? We're being reminded here. And I've had to change my view, and this is why I say I maybe struggle a little bit, because to find faithfulness in God's Word and make Scriptures make sense, sometimes we have to change the way we perceive things. The impossibility here, this is the great Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6 passage where we're talking about it is impossible for someone to be renewed. It's kind of like in my studies this week, I've come across those that fear that they've committed the unpardonable sin of blasphemy, right? I've had people come to me before and say, you know, I'm not sure if I've committed blasphemy. I'm just here to let you know this morning, if you've committed blasphemy, you know it. Do we get that, church? And that's in the denial of the Holy Spirit and its work and the things of that. But if you deny those things, you have committed blasphemy and you know it. It's not something you're just going to live your life. Which that just reminded me of my third point from what I wanted to start off, is our Kevin Yeager message. I also don't believe that just because you sin, you have lost your salvation. Okay, with the hula hoop, those that ever remember him talking about that with your hula hoop religion, because that's, as I said, the Lord has saved us. Now, we'll get to those that walk away as well. But as we continue to think of this, I believe that we have been given parables, we've been given lessons, we've been given understanding. Jesus, I believe, gave us the parable of the lost coin, right? Of the lost sheep and of the lost son. Do we remember the great thing about all three of those? They were found. They came back. So they were lost. They were once in possession of the son, of the woman, and of the shepherd. They were in possession with them. They had left or been lost and had been brought back. I believe we were given that parable for a reason, that even though once lost, we can be returned. This is what's a reminder to us in this, in the Hebrews chapter 6, and in what I had discussed earlier, that, for example, with that of the unpardonable sin, that you're going to do that, you're going to know it. You're not going to accidentally, you know, blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Same thing here in this Hebrews passage. We'll go ahead and read it. It says, for in this case of those who have once been enlightened, I want you to understand, those that were taught the Bible, read the Bible, knew the Bible, understood the Bible, all the way up through 1200 AD did scholars all of a sudden become known to think they knew more than God, at least in this area. When they saw the word enlightened, when the New Testament Christians in the first century, in the second century, in the third century, in the fourth century, all the way up through the 12th century, when they saw that word enlightened, they always tied that to the moment in which they were immersed into Jesus Christ. That's just the fact of what it was. They were enlightened. They were so those that have been once enlightened, those that have become Christians, okay, they have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. And as we look at that, so it appears to us on the outtake that you can lose your salvation to never be able to regain it again. And so what I'll say is, there is nothing that anyone, there is nothing that any man, there is nothing that any preacher, there is nothing that any teacher, if you have walked away from Jesus Christ, there is nothing that any one of us can do to renew your heart to repentance. However, the good news is, salvation is in between me and you. Salvation isn't between me and you. Salvation is between you and God, me and God. And Scripture reminds us, what's impossible for God? Coop, shaking his head. Nothing is impossible for God. So do we believe that? So we have to change our thinking. I've had to do that as well. So if it's impossible for humans to make that happen, but you have to have that right relationship with the Lord or have that restored relationship from the Lord. And I'll say this, if it's impossible, even for God, then why in our Revelation studies, for example, does Jesus tell the church at Ephesus, who has lost their first love, to repent? Is he asking them to do something that they cannot do? Is he asking them to do something that is not possible? With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We're also reminded by the words of the great apostle Peter. And he gives us insight once again as John as an elder. I think Peter as an elder here too. What they're wanting for, those that they're writing to, their flock, the ones in the churches that they're aware of. They're wanting them to remain faithful. But how, what do they know? Right? Wouldn't it be great if everybody that ever becomes a Christian stays faithful? But we can just take a look around and know those of our number that have not remained faithful and have left and have stepped away. And we'll focus on that just a little bit towards the end of what that difference is. It's not just a sin, it's walking away from God. Those are two different things. Those are two different things. Adam and Eve still had a relationship with God after they sinned. It just wasn't the same relationship. Okay? And so, just things for us to continue. But anyway, so as we talk about Peter, we see that Peter talks about how he warns people that they could return to their state of unrighteousness. Now, coming from unrighteousness to a life of righteousness, that's God's way, right? That's God's way, of unrighteous to righteousness. The devil's way is taking that life of righteousness and then returning to that life of unrighteousness. That's the devil's way. Let's read our text out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 says, "For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." I think we understand that, right? So those in the world here that have never become Christians, still going to suffer the fate of hell for eternity, but it's worse if you were in that state, became a Christian, and then went back, because now you know what you're leaving behind. They don't. They are again entangled in them and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. Verse 21, "For it would have been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. And it has happened to them according to the true proverb, 'A dog returns to its own vomit.'" That's a wonderful thought this morning. "And a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire." And so, and it may even be, you know, in today's society, we see people that have those little pigs and they raise them up and they have them as pets and they let them run through their house and they do. But I'm still letting you know, a pig's a pig. And that's what Peter's saying. A pig is a pig. You take them out in the mud, you give them the opportunity to roll in the mud, they're going to roll in the mud. You can come in, take them in, hose them down, wash them up, make them smell as pretty as can be, and you turn them loose in the backyard, guess what they're going to find? Right? And if they can't find it, they'll make it themselves. And you don't want to know how they do that. Or, and think about this one, all you that just love your dogs as pets, he returns to his own vomit. That means that cute little tongue and little face that's just licking your face up like crazy. Right? Yeah, guess where it could have just come from? And you won't know because it ate it all up. Right? Right? And so as we talk about this, Peter is reminding us, as you look at that, that if you do that, that's kind of, and both those situations are kind of gross situations, aren't they? It's not something, yeah, I could see that. I wouldn't mind that. Right? Right? No, that's not the case. We would want to try to stay away from that. Which then leads us to something that, again, is a true statement. And again, I believe what the Bible says, so we've just got to make it. I'll just say there's a lot of times there's things in my mind that don't make sense and I have to figure it out. That's not the Lord's fault. That's my fault. I got to figure that out. And this is this next one. Our next phrase, Jesus saves forever. Do we agree with that? Oh, don't look at Hebrews 7:25. Would you agree with that before you looked at Hebrews 7:25? Because as far as God the Father is concerned, as far as Jesus Christ is concerned, and as far as the Holy Spirit's concerned, when they save you, they are saving you forever. Right? Do we think that God's going to back out on his plan of salvation for us? No. Do you think that Jesus Christ is going to back out on his plan of salvation for us? No. Do we think the Holy Spirit's going to back out on their plan of salvation for us? No. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to him, near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus, when you do what the Bible has asked us to do, and you're obedient to him, you come out of that watery grave, and you have made that confession, and you have repented of your sins, as far as the Godhead is concerned, you're saved forever. So does that mean you can't be lost? No. That's because you have a choice, too. You have a choice to make in this situation. You have a choice to make. We are said to be free moral agents. We make a conscious decision to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen? But we can make that conscious decision to leave Christ as well. The choice is yours. Now, that's where I made mention we cannot be plucked. Right? So nobody, Steve can't come and steal me away from Jesus. Right? There's no denomination that can come and steal me away from Jesus. There's no atheist that can come and steal me away from Jesus. However, I can pry those fingers open and walk away myself. But in the mind of God, Jesus and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they've saved us forever. But you can change the eternal destination. And so as we look at this and we continue to think of this, each person then is responsible for their own obedience to Christ. Amen? All right? So when someone becomes a Christian, they can not become a Christian because someone has forced them to. Right? They cannot leave Christ because someone has forced them to. It's all up to them. It's their choices. It's their decision. However, we are told then as Christians in Hebrews 10, 26 and 27, it says, for if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. What they're saying for what the Hebrew writer here is saying, if we continue to sin, when we initially had our sins washed away, what made that possible? The death of Jesus on the cross and the shedding of his blood, right? And the resurrection. So that is what saves us. If we walk away from that and walk away from Jesus and walk away from his gift of salvation, as was shared with us in our communion meditation, that free gift, if we walk away from that, there has now become no sacrifice for sins. Jesus is not going to the cross again. Remember, as we've looked in the last couple weeks, he died once and for all. Right? So as we look at that, so just imagine if instead of John saying, Watch yourselves. He said, you'll always be saved. Is there a difference? One, he's given a warning. Two, on the other side, if he said that, then what do we have to lose? And this is where many of us have friends in the world that'll use this phrase on us, once saved, always saved, right? I'll just say this, and you, anyone who's heard sermons on that makes as much sense as saying once shaved, always shaved. I shaved this morning, then that means I'd never have to do it again. But we know what's going to happen, right? Fortunately, I'm not one of those guys that has a 5 o'clock shadow or anything, so I can get away with, you know, every other day or whatever. But Jesus says, and Scripture tells us, once saved, not always saved. Now, so is he automatically condemning us? No. But what he is saying is there is an opportunity for us to fall away, to leave, to get up and walk out of the room, to give up our salvation, to separate us from the Savior. He warns us about that. How many times have you ever had a conversation with someone and they'll say, well, you know, those people were never really Christians anyway? I simply say, no, I don't know that. Because as we stated at the beginning, if the Lord says you're saved and the Word says you're saved, then I'm going to say you're saved. We've seen them profess, we've heard them profess Christ. They've been here with us around the Lord's table. They were immersed into the watery grave of baptism. As far as I'm concerned, if the Lord would have returned 20 years ago when they were doing that, as far as I understand in Scripture, they were saved. I think of this example. This was back when Tommy was here preaching, Tommy Johnson. He had been working with an elderly couple. Won them both to the Lord. They were immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The wife had terminal cancer and dies. For all intended purposes, she died as a saint. Why? Because the Bible tells me that, right? And her husband that did the same, a saint, right? A Christian. Time goes on. He decides to get remarried, remarries a woman that's not a Christian. He starts attending the denomination. He forgets what he had made, what response and obedience he had made to Jesus Christ as far as being obedient to him. A denomination, no Lord's Supper every Sunday, different things that. And then he marries her, and he passes away. Can we say he was faithful unto death? Again, I'm not God, but I can see things and I know what Scripture tells me. So the sad thing is now, the wife, in obedience and all intended purposes, was a Christian. You know why? Because the Lord said so and the Bible said so. So I believe that. But if he fell away, walked away, wasn't plucked out, he went willfully following his own desires and lusts, never to return. How sad the decision. Because we're free moral agents. So just because you're once saved, does that mean you're always saved? No. Once saved does not equal always saved. 1 John 2:19. Maybe they weren't Christians at all to begin with. I can't buy that. I have to go with what the scripture tells me. Now, if they say, no, they were never immersed, then I'm like, all right, I'm with you. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. Well, that's just what John just said. No, that's not what John is saying. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. In other words, as they were in with them, it was known that they were of them. It's when they left that it proves that what John is saying is all of these people, as far as their obedience to Jesus Christ, they did what he asked them to do. They met with them. They were, look to your right or to your left. They were the ones that were here with you every Sunday to take the Lord's Supper. They were faithful. They were a part of us. But when they decide to walk away from us, are they saved? Because they're not just walking away from us, they're walking away from the Lord. There's nothing we can do to bring them back. The Lord could bring them back, but they have to have that relationship with him. And if they sever that, then they have departed from us. Even our English in that verse through the antecedent tells us that they're going out of us means that they were a part of us, right? We may have that maybe in the sports field where there are people that are on the team, but they're not really a part of the team, right? Just because you're the bat boy doesn't mean you're a part of the team, okay? And so could they leave us? Yes. Do we miss them? Yes. And they'll say, well, see, they were never really a part of us. But if Jesus says you're on the team, and then you walk out and you quit. How many times have we seen that, right, in the pro sports? Guy just decided not to show up. Detroit Tigers had a pitcher this year that just walked away for half the season. We had no idea why. So would you consider him on the team? He wasn't receiving the reward. They stopped his checks, right? But his name was still on the roster. As far as they were concerned, but he wasn't a part of the team. And so as we see this, it's a reminder to us that the Lord wants for us to make a decision, to understand that if we make a decision for the worse, we choose to walk away, then all of this can be called null and void. Talking about your salvation. But that's up to you. However, John says, watch yourselves, be strong, be faithful, never walk away. You won't be picked out, you won't be snatched out. And please, just don't walk out on your own. Be faithful. You try to push your way out, walk out. He wants us to be true and faithful. I know I've used this before, but I thought it was a great way to bring it to a conclusion. So as we have like the sermon with Kevin Yeager with the hula hoop, that are you in sin? Are you out of salvation? And different things of that nature. It's not talking about your messing up, because if that's the case, then as we came out of the watery grave of baptism, don't hand me a towel. Just hold me under till the bubbles quit. Right? That's not what we're talking about. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can have forgiveness for even our future transgressions, praying we don't have to have them. But he has died for us once and for all. And so as we look at that, Roger Chambers says it this way, that if it takes a hearing of the gospel, if it takes a belief in Jesus Christ, if it takes confession, and it takes repentance, and it takes being immersed into Jesus Christ for you to be saved, would we say that you're saved by hearing the gospel? No. Or do we say you're saved by hearing and believing the gospel? Are we saved? Are you saved by hearing, believing, repenting? Are you saved by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing? Are you saved by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being immersed? Then all of a sudden we say, yes. Right? Because now we've done everything that the Lord has asked us to do to be saved, to receive the gift of salvation, to receive remission of our sins, to have our the gift of the Holy Spirit then as our guide. Roger Chambers suggests this. So since we've done that, we have Christ in our life, can our sin, one sin, as we step out of the hula hoop, are we lost? I don't think so. I pray not so. Right? Because for one, if we do believe that, then where in the world has the grace of God gone? Where is his mercy? Okay? So with that, he believes it takes a conscious decision to walk away from the baptism you shared in, to walk away from the Lord's Supper, to walk away from a confession, to walk away from your repentance, to walk away from believing in God. Then we get to the point where we're lost. And then again, if we're there, then there's nothing man can do. It's up to you and your relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Second John chapter 1 and verse 8 is not there to scare us. I think it's there to encourage us to watch. The one that helped bring you to Christ is going to receive a reward for their efforts. And not only that, you will get your reward in Christ. But if you walk away, you have made Christ's sacrifice null and void. You have taken a gift away from the one that helped you become a Christian, and you have ultimately lost the crown of righteousness for yourself. Talk about the height of selfishness. And yet, unfortunately, we all know people that have begun this walk and have walked away, have left the arms of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you want to begin that walk. It starts with our belief in Jesus, the repentance of our sin, the confession that he is Christ, that we are immersed into the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life and live and be faithful as we possibly can, and encouraging those around us to do the same. If you're here this morning and you've fallen away and Jesus Christ is no longer your first love, then as he said to the church at Ephesus, repent. Do the things you did at first and come back home. He wants for us all to come back home if we've fallen away. If not, he wants for us to continue being faithful. Can we be faithful for him? Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?